1 Peter 4:8. Let's see, Shane doesn't have her Bible, but Sheena's does. 1 Peter 4:8, would you read that, please? All right, the key word there is charity. It doesn't just say have charity, it says have fervent charity. Now, as we're, you know, finishing up, we're not quite finished yet, but we're working up these steps. He says add. So I compared it to taking a step and adding another layer to my life, my Christian life. But these layers aren't possessions. You know, people add things to their lives, like they buy a second car. Maybe they buy another house, or they get things and they add layers to their life, but we're adding spiritual layers to our life. And God calls us to a spiritual growth of which the highest step, the greatest level we can attain is charity. So it says have fervent charity, and that's our goal. Now people sing a lot about love. Really, the best songs truly are love songs. But just because the world is focused on love and singing about love, and there are books without number that are written about romance, you know, romance novels. I mean, all the movies, if they're not destroying one another, if they're trying to love one another and all this stuff. But it doesn't mean that they have the slightest idea of what love is. Just because they write about it. It has been said that love does something to a person. It makes people do silly things. When you're in love, embarrassing things. Love will mess up your mind. When you're in love, you're worthless. You can't eat, sleep, you can't work, can't do school. It messes with your minds. And, but I want to show you what God's love can do to a person. And God uses a term here. If you go back to 1 Peter and chapter 1. Let's see, 2 Peter. Sorry, I have to get my bearings. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." So, God's love, He knows how to define it. He defined it as charity. It's like nothing the world has ever seen before. Whatever kind of love that is, it's capable, are you listening? It's capable of covering not just one sin. It's capable of covering a multitude of sins. That's an amazing power. All right, so tonight we're going to talk about charity, which simply, in simple words, and sometimes I like simple things. I mean, you can find long definitions, but charity means living completely unselfishly, living for others. And let's go to 1 Corinthians. Did we read 1 Corinthians 16:14? We haven't looked at that. 1 Corinthians 16:14. And Shane, you'll read that one, will you, please? 1 Corinthians 16:14. Okay, so everything you do should be done with charity. That means everything. Let's see. Now, it's easy when you're holding a baby to cradle the baby with selfless love. All right? But there are other things we do, and we don't think about having charity. Okay? You ever been in an argument? Have you been able to do it in charity? You didn't mean that, Pastor. That, you can't have... That's everything. In everything, let everything you do be done with charity. Now, we come a long way. When we talk about faith, faith is our foundation. We all start with believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. How can such a great event be experienced by grace through faith? Just faith, not by works of righteousness, but by faith. Faith is the foundation we start with, and then we add virtue. Virtue defines, it describes limits that we place upon ourselves. That's the first thing that you should do when you get saved, because it is easiest to put down cigarettes as soon as you get saved. You wait for 6 months before you start to put limits on what you're going to allow yourself to do, and it gets harder and harder to put down sin. But as soon as you get saved, add limits, add virtue, add what the old people called it, piety. How many ever heard that phrase? Piety. It's not apple. It's holiness. It's actually saying, I'm not going to get soiled by what I used to do. We add virtue. Third thing, we add knowledge. Knowledge gives me answers to the things that the devil used to scare me with. What used to cause me to quit. And now I have an answer from the Bible. So as soon as you get saved, you should be in the Bible and learning. Will you understand it all? No, but you will with time. And then add to your knowledge temperance. Temperance is you not being in control anymore, but giving control over to the Holy Spirit. And that is that's a lifelong effort, isn't it? Learning how to listen to a still, small voice is very hard. I'd much rather worry about somebody yelling at me. That's where all my attention is on. But that's the world screaming at us. I've got to learn how to ignore that and listen to Him. Because He listens through a printed word. He works through a printed word. He speaks through the words on a page, which are very quiet last time I checked. Amen? Temperance. Patience enables me to wait on God. Ooh, do I have to add patience to my life? Because I wasn't born with it. Were you? No. Add to your patience godliness. And when you add godliness, you're adding actions, thought patterns, habits, desires that match just what Jesus was like. When I add godliness to my life, I'm trying to add the way Jesus lived to the way I live now. And I'm supposed to add that. How many of us, we want to, when you first get saved, you want to be godly. You want to live differently. But it's hard. And so God lists it down a little bit further, saying you can work on godliness as you've worked on these other things. Then He adds and He says, work on brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness means making sure I love other Christians, just like their family. I add them, adopt them into my family, and realize they are an extension of my family now. But there's still one more step that every Christian needs to add, take in their life, and that is charity. Now, when you attempt to define charity, it's like trying to define the undefinable. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13 tonight, and let me just say what charity is not. It is not just love. God had a reason that He used the word charity and not love here. Now, guess what all the new Bibles do? They just make it love. Now, I know charity has love in it, but agape in this kind of love cannot just be said with the word love. You know, in Spanish, I understand there are 5 words for love. And you don't use the same word of love for your wife that you just said to your dog. Oh, I love you. And then go, oh, I love you. She'll slap you. Because the different words have different degrees of meaning. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when we say have fervent charity one with another, we're not just love one another. No. There is something so superior to charity. So charity is not just love, but it is an attitude of mercy. It is a restraint that you have with your love that never lets you go beyond a limit, because you always have mercy towards somebody. What is mercy? Somebody describe for me what mercy is. Somebody, yes, sir, what did he say? I see you. He's scratching his ear. Okay, very good. And not because they deserve it. Mercy holds back on what you deserve. All right, punishment. So loving kindness, you hear the word kind in there. There's loving kindness that has mercy in it. And you read the Old Testament, those two words go throughout the Old Testament. You'll read about the mercy of God. You'll read about the loving kindness of God. They're almost interchangeable. It is just a tenderness that charity means. It is expressed from the whole heart. It is love that God expects from us. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. That's what charity is. It's not just, yeah, I love you, bye. No, no, no. It is such an all-consuming love. It is a perfect love where you don't fit in there at all. Where it doesn't matter whether you get anything back. Charity is you give without the expectation of return. And it is love without limits. I think that's my favorite definition. It is love that doesn't go, oh, that's enough. That's all I can spare. Charity is love without limits. What a wonderful word. The highest step that a person can achieve, well, when do you know you're really spiritual, Pastor? When I love everybody. And where it doesn't matter how anybody treats me. Now I've arrived. I'm not there. So, it is the highest step. Now I'm working on godliness and virtue and knowledge and my faith growing, all that stuff. But there's a place that I want to be where I'm just like my Savior. And just when somebody's tearing into me, I don't tear back. I don't do that very well. Do you? It's the rarest form of love. It's like, I said 2 weeks ago, I said the rarest gemstone is not the diamond. How many, every year they find like 4,000 metric tons of diamonds every year. Now they all storm away, but diamonds are very common. Don't you wish you could find some? There's a park, I think I told you about, there's a national park in Arkansas where Joel lives. It's only about an hour away. You go and you pay like $10, and then you go in there and you start digging, and you find little diamonds there. It's called Diamond National Park. Well, there was a kid, like 6 years old, who found a 3-carat diamond. Now, it hadn't been cut yet, but they find diamonds in there all the time. So diamonds aren't rare. They're just rare on us, amen? We just can't afford them. But the most rarest gem is called the painite. I don't know if it's called painite because it's so expensive, a pain to pay for. But this kind of charity love is the rarest form of love. It shouldn't be rare here. Matter of fact, it should be so common that people go, can I have some? And the only selfless lover of all time, the only person who had perfect charity was Jesus Christ. And we don't have time. I dealt with all this last week or 2 weeks ago. Now, when you talk about charity, I tell you, it is so much more greater than human love, because human love, you give selectively to a few, while charity is given generously to anybody, doesn't matter who they are. Human love is given to those who we think are worthy. Well, I think I'll love you. I think I love you, but I don't love you. You can't do that. Charity is given to those who are not worthy. They're just not worthy. Just think about it. Not one of us was worthy of the love of God, of John 3:16, that God so loved. We weren't worthy. So next time you decide on whether you're going to share love with somebody, remember, God didn't debate. Amen. God didn't look down at Tony and go, well, you know, now that's a stretch. I'm not sure I can love him. You see, whenever you debate and go, I can't love that person, you're violating a commandment of God that says have fervent charity one with another. You can't hold back. Human love is given to those who give back to us. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. But charity is given, you give those who can't give back. Now, I'm not talking about giving charity, you know, few bob here and a few bob there, because they're poor. We're talking about giving love. It includes money, but it includes you. You give of yourself, even though, and you feel like your mind will tell you, I'm wasting my time. I'm not going to get anything out of this. This isn't going nowhere. You do it anyway. Human love is given as long as it's appreciated. Well, as long as they appreciate it. Charity is given even when it's not appreciated. Human love is given out of our own strength. I just don't have any strength to love anymore. Well, charity is given from God's strength. That's why it's a greater love. Human love is given out of what I don't need. You know, here, I don't need this fiver. Here you go. That's what modern love is. Whereas charity is given out of what I do need. Well, you know, I need this, but I'll give it to you anyway. Isn't that what Jesus did? Though he was rich, yet he became poor, that we might be made rich. He sacrificed it all. Human love can turn into bitterness if it's rejected. You don't love me. But, you know, charity grows deeper when it's rejected. You tell me now, how many of us would admit that we have charity? plainly we need this. Now, there's a priority. Let's look at chapter 13, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's see the greatest chapter in the Bible. The greatest authority on love is God, and the greatest chapter on is 1 Corinthians 13. And I want you to see, we already said 1 Corinthians 16:14 says that everything you do be done with charity. I know I'm paraphrasing, but all the things that you do be done with charity. That's the bedrock. From the moment you wake up, you're going to have to check yourself. Am I thinking evil or am I thinking blessing? Am I thinking of myself or am I thinking of somebody else and others? Who do you pray for most? Ooh, I wish I could get some honest answers here. You probably pray for yourself most. If you're any human like I am, you start thinking about all the things you need, all the things that are wrong, all the things that need to be fixed. And they all surround you. Everything we do, we need to get to the place where we think of others. You know, when God sees you take care of somebody else, God will take care of you. God just does that. My God shall supply all your needs. You know why Paul wrote that to the Philippians? Because they were ministering to him. He said, you guys were going broke to help me and help other missionaries and other pastors stay preaching, and you gave. I know God's going to take care of you. That's a great verse. My God shall supply all your needs because you're taking care of mine. So next time you have a great need, go ahead and be a blessing to somebody else, and God will take care of you. That's a great spiritual law. So it's the bedrock of everything we do. But if you don't have this foundation, look at what we're about to read. All right, let's just read 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Look at that. In simpler words, if you could master all languages, and you could command crowds and even hold the attention of angels, if you had great faith and great Bible knowledge and the ability to know everything that it is to know, Einstein, if you're the richest person in the world and gave away all of your money, Bill Gates, and even forfeited your life in sacrifice, if you have not charity, then you have absolutely done nothing. You've done nothing. So, having charity is that important. The first three verses throw it right in our face. Wow, we're really not doing anything at all until our heart has been transformed into a loving heart. So let's look at the power of charity. Look at these next four verses here, chapter 13 and verse 4. I'll just read them through and then we'll talk about them. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And I like how verse 8 starts, and we'll just stop with this start. Charity never faileth. So look at these 10 things here. When he says that charity suffereth long and is kind, you're looking at what charity will produce in you. And it's only what Christ can put in there. Some people say, I just can't love. You know why you can't? Because you're trying to do it in your own strength. I just can't forgive. You know why you can't forgive? Because you're trying to do it yourself. Now, if you want to get to the place where you can suffer long and be kind in response, you're going to have to get the source of that kind of love that will enable you to do it. But when you've got it, it will enable you to suffer long and yet be kind. That's what grace is. Grace has the ability to overlook a lot of problems. Charity is two things here. When it says suffering long, heavy on the long, it means you're patient. You're patient with other people. You're trusting God. And you're saying, not only are they going to get saved, but they're going to get better. and you suffer long, not because you see improvement, but because you love them. Charity is patient, even when you feel like complaining. Go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 22, Tony. Just 5 and verse 22. Wow. Now he starts with love there, doesn't he? But he throws in long suffering too. They go hand in hand. So, real love, God's kind of love, is where you suffer long in your kind. This is what grace is. Have you ever heard it? Have you ever heard it said where just have grace with each other? Have a lot of grace. Grace is the ability to overlook stuff. All right? I'll give you a comparison. When I started driving, my mom taught me how to drive. Bad choice. Wow, man. I mean, you're getting too close to that car. Slow down. Okay. Did you put your indicator on? Yes, Mom. No, I don't see it. Okay, now I see it. Okay, slow down. Now, start making your turn. You're going to your turn. The whole trip. Just. Well, you couldn't live for very long under that kind of pressure, constantly finding fault with you, constantly correcting you, constantly seeing what's wrong in you. You couldn't live under that. Grace overlooks a lot of that. There's time where you have to correct somebody, amen? Especially if you're turning into oncoming traffic. I came out of here this morning after the message and after everything. I got out in the car and we took off. And guess which side of the road I felt like driving on? I went down the right side of this laneway. Don't worry. But I went down this side and Nita said, "Where are you driving?" I went, "Oh, yes, I go over here." She was right to correct me. Amen. But can you imagine living with that? You can't. Sometimes you just got to let them fall, let them fail. Have grace with one another. Suffer long. Second thing, I love the Bible. It says, envieth not. That's an idea of contentment. You know, we look at other people and we see they're doing better than us and we start to envy. Maybe they got a better life. Maybe they're happier. Don't look for happiness, look for joy. In a Christian needs to get to the place where they learn to be thankful to God for everything they already have. Honestly, the truly happy people I know are those who already are happy with what they got. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to have joy if what you have is not enough. The moment I got saved and your song was all about if he never spoke another word of blessing, I may have a sense of loss, but he already proved he loved me. He already proved he doesn't have to do another blessing for me. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord, Job said. So envy not. Charity is not envious. It's never envious of what other people are getting away with. Boy, look at them. They seem to be doing fine. Yeah, amen. Vaunteth not itself. That's an old word. But it's talking about bragging. It's called a modern word. Is used a little bit in the pole vault. All right, you get this pole, and you're running in this in the Olympics. You're running down this track, and then it slips in a hole, and you go up over a pole, and you get up very high. All right, to vaunt yourself is to prop yourself up above everybody else, and charity doesn't do that. It doesn't brag. Doesn't show off. Love actually takes the praise and somebody says, "Wow, that was great." You go, "Well, praise God. Amen. God did it. Amen. And John, you're so smart. John, you're amazing." And John can say, "Yeah, my dad taught me." Amen. You see, charity deflects the praise onto somebody else. Doesn't throw, yes, I'm glad you finally noticed. That's not what charity has, all right? And then he emphasizes this is not puffed up. To be puffed up means to be full of self, full of pride. And when you're full of self, you're only full of air. Christian who has added charity steps down like John the Baptist did. Let's go to John chapter 3 and verse 30. Still holding your place here in 1 Corinthians. John chapter 3 and verse 30. Colette. John 3, 30. Listen to what John the Baptist had to say when everybody was excited about Jesus and John. There's a bit of competition there with who was going to be more popular. Listen to what John had to say. John 3:30. Wow. He got off the stage, didn't he? All the attention was going to Jesus. He said, I'm out of here. I've done my job. It's now on his focus. Not unseemly in behavior. Courtesy is a word that's kind of not used today. Kind of don't hear about it very much because we're all like getting in line first. We're all like, you know, you're going too slow. I need to get around you. And we're always rushing. But charity is never unseemly or inappropriate. It's always beautiful. Can I say it that way? When somebody's unseemly, it's like, oh, that doesn't fit. But if you have charity, your demeanor is beautiful. Your attitude is just, it's proper, it's attractive. Shouldn't we be more attractive by our charity than by our clothes? You wonder about people who spend a fortune with the tattoos, with the piercings. What are they trying to do? They're trying to attract attention. You know the best way to attract attention? Be a blessing. Be a selfless blessing to others. People will notice you. We're not unseemly in behavior. Charity always acts in good tastes. It's never rude, never indecent, always showing respect. Seeketh not her own. Listen to the femininity here. Charity has this secondary nature of I don't have to be in charge, I don't have to be in control. Seeketh not her own. That's selflessness. You know, it's seeking somebody else's benefit instead of your own. Doesn't demand its rights, even when you know you've been violated. No, that was wrong. Yeah? Charity seeketh not her own. Love is unselfish, this kind of love, and never seeks its own benefits from it. Go to Philippians 2:4, Nita. Philippians 2:4. So you're looking at what other people need instead of what you only need. Yes, maybe you need, you know, to go, I don't know, maybe you need to fix supper, or maybe you need to go out and mow the grass, but you look on the things of others. Now read verse 3 now. So it's the focus on the other person and just making them feel like they're more important. Because you're not worried about seeking your own. You see how hard this is? Sometimes don't you hate the Bible? Tongue in cheek. Because you're like, Lord, I work on this stuff and then, boy, you knock me down and I realize I'm not there yet. Amen. It's a lifelong job, but at least I know I'm in the right direction. Seek it not our own. Is not easily provoked. I label that, in other words, having thick skin. It takes a lot to irritate somebody who has charity. Charity is just basically not irritable. Even when you feel someone has failed to meet your expectations, love is not touchy, is never offended. At least this kind of love is not easily provoked. Next one says, thinketh no evil. That's probably the hardest place. I talked this morning about hard heart, but where do my battles occur? Where is it that I struggle in my mind? You know, we spend far too long thinking evil. We imagine evil when it's not there, or we see evil, even though it's there, we focus on the evil. And you know, charity just Does it say it has some room for thinking evil, or does it say none at all? It says thinketh no evil. So what are you supposed to do here, Pastor? What are you asking me to do? Keep this checklist. When you find your brain going to thinking, that Paul Eaton, I'm telling you I'm fed up with him. He took my parking space for the last time. That's thinking evil. You think he did it on purpose? And even if he did, I don't know, it's a stupid illustration. I know it's a stupid illustration, but you get my point that thinking evil is wrong. You may have to correct somebody, but you don't go over and over and over and over and keep, you know, I'm going to keep a record of all the times that Paul parked in that parking spot because I want to rebuke him. You sure you want to do that? It allows, forgive failures. You know, one of the most important things to do in a home is to allow for failure. Allow for failure. Well, you just don't go, think of no evil. Pass over a hurt. Charity is never critical. Doesn't keep a list of all the wrongs suffered. Holds no grudges. You know what a grudge is? Grudge is an indelible mark on your heart that you will not let heal. That's what a grudge is. And it's wrong. Think of no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity. Now, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, rips the side and says, don't go around going, oh, everybody's fine. There's no sin. Everybody can be loved. No, don't get this idea. We don't rejoice in any sin. Right? This is not us going around saying, you live like you want. You do what you want. That's not what love is. Now, the world says, let's just love everybody. We're tolerant. You can do as you want. You can be who you want. It doesn't matter. That's not right. There are limits and there are sins. Amen. So we never rejoice in any blatant sin. We're not talking about being tolerant and saying, you know what, that used to be sin in the Old Testament, but it's not now. What? That's not what we're being asked to do. When we're talking about charity, we still know what's wrong. We still know what's sin. And we don't rejoice. I don't look at a gay pride parade and rejoice. Amen. I don't sit in front of the television at 6 o'clock at night and they showing filth on the news and rejoice. Just because somebody's out there in front of a camera doesn't mean they have to show it. There's no rejoicing in iniquity by a Christian. And somebody says, we're not very loving. Oh, I love. And I want to love. But I'm not going to appreciate or rejoice in that. Amen? Now we got to draw the line and say, we hate the sin, but I hope those sinners get saved. Amen? So rejoice is not in iniquity. So he fixes the misunderstanding. People say, well, I can't think evil about anybody. Get the thing right. If they're doing wrong, rebuke them. Love them anyway. Amen? The last one says, rejoices in the truth. Delights in good things, true things. Go to Philippians. Go back to Philippians chapter 4. And Andrew. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, 8. Those are good things to think about. But where does he begin? Amen. So he says, you know what? Focus on what's true. Somebody tell me something that's true. God's word is true. What were you going to say? God's not dead. Okay, amen, amen. That's true. What else is true? Martin. Yeah. You wake up and going, am I in the body or out of the body? All right. Somebody meet again. Wow, they're true. His promises, you know, I like how Paul says it. In Jesus, in Him, all the promises of God are yay. Like, they're all affirmative. You can count on all of them. What else is true? Right? The Bible is true. Yes, what do you say? All right, there are consequences for sin. Amen. Yes, sir? All right, The Spirit of truth confirms what is true. Yes, ma'am? Hell is true. Yeah, amen. Amen. What else is true? Yes, sir. All right. God is true. Amen. He cannot lie. Come on, you haven't gotten to the... When the Bible says think on these things, you need some things to think on. What's true? God loves you. Even when you were a wicked, filthy, like you still are, ungodly sinner, He loved you. Here's a great truth. He cannot love you any more than He currently loves you. He can't. That's a truth. You're going to sit back in bed and look up and go, woohoo, praise God. Raise your hands toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord. What are you going to say? That's the truth. Amen. I'm going with you. Tony. All is the truth. Amen. Atheists are just frustrated agnostics. That's what they are. What else is true? Barry, what else is true? Satan is. Yeah, he's defeated, but he sure does run around acting like he's not. Amen. amen. Come on, I'm dead serious. You have a home in heaven. It's called a mansion. It's not an outhouse. Yes, sir? What did you say? God answers prayer, right? A lot of times He says no, but He still answers. Amen. Listen. Rejoice is in the truth. If you are spending your days watching the television, listening to Neil Prendleful Nothing, and you're on the radio, so you listen to all that stuff and the fluff and everything, you're going to be depressed. You're going to be thinking about things that aren't true. They'll get on the radio and they'll say, 46% of the Irish now are for abortion. That is a lie from hell. That is not true. But they'll keep repeating it, and keep jacking up the number a little higher till they say, you know what? Gay marriage, and I hate the word gay. You ought to just call it sodomy. And gay marriage, now 60, I think they want to say 61% of the Irish voting population believe that homosexuals should be able to get married with full and equal rights as heterosexuals. That is not true. I don't believe 61%, and I will never believe it. I believe the Bible. I believe even nature says, just people in their natural sense goes, that's not right. So you spend all your time listening to the news and listening to those statistics, stuff like that. You're wasting your time. You start believing what's true. And you rejoice in it. Do you hear all the positives in there? Do you see the positives in there? You saw the positives there in Philippians 4:8? All the things that are good, that's what you think on. That's what a heart that wants to... The reason why, and I'll build on this morning's message, the reason why you and I find it so hard to show love is because we have a hard heart. And the more that I work on these things, the more I'm able to give and be a blessing. Let's look at 7 and 8. And I want you to see five qualities of love. He says in verse 7 and 8, it says, I got to get back there, 13, 7 and 8, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. There are five great qualities of Christian love. And the first one is, it puts up under pressure. To bear. Now that's an older word. To bear is not to be a bearer, but to carry and to hold up under pressure. Charity keeps going and going and keeps taking and keeps taking the pressure. It bears up under any pressure. Listen, what is better? Anger or charity? You know what? Nobody in this room can carry the burden of anger for very long before it destroys you and everybody around you. So if you want to fix somebody, show them charity. That's how it works. Charity is much more powerful than anger could ever be. Hey, if God, when God gets angry, there's nobody left standing. But when He shows love, a whole bunch of us get saved. Amen. So next time you feel like, show love. It bears up under any pressure, and it finds great strength. Because you're trying to do it Christ's way, show charity. It gives people the benefit of the doubt. Man, look at that again. Beareth all things, believeth all things. You know, Paul pulls into your parking spot, and you just believe, boy, Paul's trying to take care of Marlene, make sure she's close to the door. Instead of, Paul's doing that on purpose. He knew I had that place. He took it. See, that's believing a lie. That's believing evil. But instead, you think, if he I'm just giving you a stupid illustration, right? If I use one of your life examples, you would not like it. So Paul pulls up, and you believe all things. You believe all the good about Paul. See, Paul's just thinking of Marlene. Amen. Even though you have to now walk 15 extra feet. Amen. Believeth all things. I don't care what you know, believe better. I know Paul. Don't you think you know Paul? Paul doesn't even know Paul. Have grace one with another. Third thing, believes every promise. Believes every promise of God. When it says here in verse 7, believeth all things, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. What's hope? Hope is not, hope is not going to rain tomorrow. No, what's hope? Somebody define for me biblical hope. Say again? Okay, hope is a gift from God, yes, but Nita? Yes, it's a confidence. I love that rest. I was getting on the plane to go from Austin, Texas to London. And when I was in queue, there's 3,000 people all getting on this one plane with only 250 people on it. But as you're getting on this plane, this guy is going up and he puts his passport under and the boarding card, and the lady says, "Wrong flight." And he went, "Ooh." And she said, "You better run because it's leaving at the next gate." And he took off, right? When I went through that thing and they checked it and I sat down on that plane, I hoped that I was going to London. All right? No, I knew I was. I hadn't gotten there yet, but I had great hope I was going to get there because I was on the right plane. And folks, our hope is so secure that Christ made a promise that he cannot lie. So I'm not physically there, but my hope is built on the firm foundation of his promise. I have hope. And that's the great thing. Believe every promise of God. You're talking about your sister. You need to believe and believe and believe and believe. No matter how she responds, promise like your mom does. Your mom still claims Romans 10. It says, Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. She is believing all things. She says, it would be the worst day of her life if she ever said, "Well, I don't believe that anymore." Wow, you talk about sucking the life out of somebody. Dennis, you had your hand up. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. It's such a great hope, we can't hold it in. So it believes every promise of God. And it outlasts every trial. Look at still going on. Endureth how many things? Man, oh man. See, if I sat you down and I said, "All right, this is what we're going to do this week. You are going to handle under all pressure. You're going to give every person you deal with the benefit of the doubt. You're going to believe every promise of God. You're going to have great patience no matter what trial you go through." Ah, and one more, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to do it every time. You go, "Is there another class? Am I in the right place? Because I can't do that." You won't. But God's love, first you receiving it, and then starting to give it out, it just does it, folks. We're not doing this because we can. We're doing it because He does through us. You're the hands. You're the life that He lives through now. Amen? So, charity never fails. I like that. Don't you think we all need this thing, this charity added to our life? Let me finish up. Charity is something quite unknown to the world. It's the byproduct of being perfectly and eternally loved by God and forgiven by God. Love does forgive, by the way. So it's something that's quite unknown to the world. Does the world, they show love, they have great affection, they are kind to one another, they suffer through things, that's all I know. But this is such a step above. That's why Christ is so superior. And why we don't just think, "Well, I already love enough." You know, if you're honest, you'll have to admit, "I don't love enough. I want a love like that. I want to have a love that's called charity love." All of life's problems are, say it with me, heart problems. Somebody gets mad at the pastor. It's a heart problem. We've got to get our hearts right. Somebody says, I don't want to tithe anymore. It's not a wallet problem. It's a heart problem. I don't want to go soul winning anymore. It's not a fear problem. It's a heart problem. You don't care enough to be embarrassed or be spit at or whatever. You see, everything we face, we respond with our heart. That if thou shalt believe with thy heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Salvation occurs when your heart gets put in action. All of life's problems are heart problems. All of life's problems are fixed when the heart is fixed. Charity is the bedrock, the foundation of our lives in our relationship with God and our reaction to other people. And charity produces 10 of the most outstanding characteristics you can ever find in any relationship with Jesus Christ. We listed them: suffering, long, being kind, envying not, vaunteth not itself. Those characteristics are produced in you. Folks, can I say it this way? As you walk with Jesus. If you have a problem with your love life, it's because you and He haven't spent any time together. Because He does have an effect. Amen? Next week, I'm going to show you how to nurture and grow charity in your life. And it's not something you'll find easy. But it's something you ought to really, really find a priority. Would you stand with me and bow in prayer?